Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Tim Arroyo. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
So this morning, very excited to talk to you. I love when God is emphasizing something over a period of time to a whole community. Oftentimes, you know, week to week, Jamie, Dustin, or whoever's up here, it just has a word for the week, and you know, they're not necessarily all strung together. It's just God is week to week forming a word for all of us to come and be impacted in what we need that week. And it's amazing, right? It's amazing. It just somehow the Holy Spirit, every single week, it's different, but it's exactly what we need. And I love that. And I love the rhythm that we're in of that. But what I love even more, to be honest, is when all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place where the Holy Spirit is emphasizing something that needs more than one time together before we move on. Amen? Last week, Jamie, his message was called The Womb of Potential. You remember that? And he talked about this idea of the womb of potential, your life being a place where things could happen, right? Great things could happen. And it's built on a foundation of walking in hope and faith. Ringing any bells? Yeah. Hope is that thing that you believe about the person, the nature of God. It is the belief that he's good, that he's a provider, that he's X, Y, and Z, and it's stronger, hopefully, than whatever your life circumstances are telling you God is like, but that we're actually rooted in truth, in hope, believing that God is who he is. But we partner that hope with faith. And faith is your life's response to the thing that you hope in. We all caught up? Yeah. So the desire of Kingdom Life Church is that as a body of Christ, as this little tribe in the middle of nowhere, it may not feel that way, but believe it or not, on you know, the national scale, not a lot of people about Oakland know about Oakland, Maine. I don't know why. We got the corner store. Legit. Early bird, are you kidding me? We got a Subway. Hallelujah. I just love it here. How do more people not know about Oakland, Maine? We got a new ice cream shop, y'all. My God. Hallelujah. Praise it. People watch on the live stream like, what are you talking? What is this? That doesn't sound good at all. Well, it sounds good to me, so leave Oakland alone. The hope is that this group of people, the people that are attached to this family, that we fully realize and see walked out our potential. That we are not really leaving anything on the table as believers. That it would be said of us what's said of David, that he accomplished everything he was meant to accomplish in his generation. And so here's my goal with this message. Are you ready? My goal is that by the end of this time together, you would be confronted with your own destiny. And that you would be confronted with the assignment of God on your life. Now that might make you very excited. That might make you very scared. That might make you feel overwhelmed. How could I take on another thing? I promise you, we're going to get to the end of this day, and we're going to be looking face to face with the plan of God for you, for all of us. And we're going to have an opportunity to respond to that plan. Okay? I don't want to live, speaking for myself, I don't want to live a life of wasted potential. I don't want to live my life, especially when it comes to living for Jesus, saying, man, there's so much more I could have done. But it's not always as simple as just wanting it. Sometimes there's actually key components of revelation and understanding that many of us just weren't taught by life, that we need to actually look in the scriptures and learn so that we have the ammunition, the weaponry we need to actually fulfill that longing. Jamie's message is a great example, like, oh, duh, hope and faith. If I don't have hope and faith, this is what he said. How did he say it? He said, if we underestimate the potential of a moment, our response will be underwhelming. So the charge is that through hope and faith, we begin to forge within us a womb of potential, right? Oh, I didn't know that before he said it. You know what I'm saying? It's not always as easy as, like, well, if you wanted it, you'd do it. Sometimes we actually need to put on our learning cap and learn. And we actually need to let the rabbi teach us, let the Holy Spirit teach us on how to live a life of significance, okay? So today is a commissioning, a charging, if you will, but it's also meant to maybe just gloss over some things that we forget about that will help us launch into what we're here to do.
Yeah, come on.
Okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Why are you here? Huh? Why are we here? Ooh, we're thinking. They're thinking. So many people have to squirm like a fish out of water for 5 minutes before they can muster up an answer to that question. This is a problem. Why are you here? Why is the church here in this hour, in this day? My hope is that before we get into our individual lives, we're actually going to take a step back. We're going to get macro, and we're going to see, wait a minute, this is what God's doing in the whole earth. Because if we're not careful, we're going to actually cause our life and our response to life and our decision-making is only going to be built out of the micro elements of our life and circumstances if we've lost connection to the bigger picture. Okay? You tracking with me? This is going to be good. This is going to be really good. You ready? Why are we here? John 14, 12. Oh, here we go. I hope you're ready. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Let's push pause there. Jesus is saying that as a result of your belief in him, you will match his fruitfulness in the earth. The Jesus who did so much that it says you cannot write in a book. There's not enough trees on this whole dang planet to make enough paper to say all the things that he did in the earth. Healed the sick, raised the dead, multiplied food, teleported, walked through walls, walked on water, probably teleported again. Shift the trajectory of the earth by leading 12 men. And you, because of your faith, are charged with matching his fruitfulness in the earth. Here's what I love about this, though. This is not a burden that God is laying on you that is intended to cause you to feel condemned if you don't live up to it. It's the nature of God. The beauty of this verse is that it is opening up the realm of what's possible in your life. Wouldn't it be cruel if Jesus asked you to do something you could not do? So that means if we feel like we cannot match his fruitfulness, the problem's not with him. There's something in our belief system where we haven't actually believed that we could be the type of person that fulfills that verse. But then it just gets worse. He keeps talking. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. So here's what you're telling me, Jesus. Not only am I going to match your fruitfulness, I'm actually going to go beyond what you accomplished in the earth. How? Have you ever wondered that? Like, What is it? Raising like five dead people at the same time from a mile away? I don't know. Maybe he probably did that while he was here. You know, I think Jesus actually answers his own question. Like, what are the greater things? Jesus answers that in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them, Matthew 28, 16, and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you to the very end of the age." We never saw Jesus disciple a nation. Think about that. We saw Jesus disciple 12. But we never saw from top to bottom a whole nation baptized, like it says in the book. What are the greater works? It's the Great Commission. And what I love about the Great Commission is that it doesn't say find disciples in every nation or people in every nation make disciples. This is no, disciple the nation. Baptize the nation. And to be completely honest with you, I don't know if many of us have a grid for what that actually looks like. I remember I was just thinking and praying about this idea of discipling the nation. I was thinking of America, and I honestly felt like a holy moment between me and the Lord of just him bringing my vision to what he has vision for and what this scripture might look like in America. And the vision that I saw was imagining, I love how God just infiltrates your imagination. You know, you just think you're daydreaming, but it's like, God's there, you know? I just imagine what it would be like if we were at a State of the Union. You know, whoever's president, doesn't matter. And the State of the Union is there and everyone's tuned in to watch. And the president starts to speak and says, you know, before we get started, all over this nation, would you just begin to lift your voice and worship the Lord? Before we get into our broadcast, can we just all over the country just begin to worship Jesus? Oh, you never thought about that. What if it was actually, we could look in Oakland, Maine, or the town you live in, city you live in. What if in Oakland, it was actually rare to meet somebody who didn't authentically love Jesus? To meet somebody that wasn't saved would be unusual. Because such a significant discipling and teaching and baptizing has occurred in the city. What would it look like for America to be discipled? Uh-oh. I feel like maybe our hope and faith level for our nation is maybe a little low right now. Okay, Tim, don't be intense. 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 If you are more invested in the problems of our country than the promise of the Great Commission, then you've sunk the ship before you even got to go. You might as well. No, I'm not going to say that. Nope, not going to say that. I'm not going to tell them they might as well just leave. I'm not going to tell them that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say, why are you even here if you believe that? I'm not going to. Don't say that. I would never say that. There are certain things we have to be convinced of if we want to be a greater works people, if we want to be a Davidic people who accomplish all that we are meant to accomplish. And one of those things is convinced that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and that its expansion does not quit. And that right now, as we are here, his kingdom is advancing. The question is, do you want to be on the crest of the wave? Building what he's doing. We have to be convinced of this bigger picture that we're a part of. You see, you can do two things or one thing for two different reasons. If I was to bring it to like raising your kids, Your vision, your priority system for raising your children could be like survival. Like my decision making, the way I raise my kids, based on survival. They will eat, they will survive. They'll be nice, hopefully. Jesus, you know, they'll know him, I think, and they'll be better than me. I don't know. And there's just like all these values, right? Fueling what we're doing. And those are good. Like, I want them to, to just be good people and be generous and all this good stuff. Be kind. Be obedient. Listen. But there's a difference between that and looking at raising your kids and say, okay, how can I disciple this nation through how I raise my kids? How do I teach America all that Jesus has taught me through raising my children? Baptizing them, nations. How do I see the baptism of the Holy Spirit come in to my world, my city, through this? All of a sudden, our strategy and response to the obligations of life shift. Don't you see how that opens up new revelation, new ways of approaching life, new ways of managing and making decisions and how you operate? Because all of a sudden, we're not just plugged into the, like, my child is disobedient and I need to fix it. Yes, don't ignore the small details of your life. Be attentive. See what God's doing in the midst of it. But have one hand on the big picture of what God's doing in the earth. If you're in business, if you work in the church, wherever you're at, if you stay at home, whatever you do, have one hand firmly gripped on the larger vision of God is discipling nations, not through just anybody, through you. You, sitting here in this room. And the second thing that we need to be convinced of is that we have a part to play. But it may not be why you think it is. Let's look at Esther. You guys remember Esther? We can go to Esther, actually, if you want to turn there, Esther chapter 4. You know, Esther is this, her original name is Hadassah, and the spark notes of her story is the king chose her to be queen, really thought she had it going on, thought, that's the lady I'd like to marry, and that's all well and good. And so she has changed her name from Hadassah to Esther so that the king wouldn't know that she's a Hebrew, that she's an Israelite. And it turns out that the Israelites are choosing not to bow to a man named Haman. Look at your neighbor and say, Haman. Ooh, we don't like him. Haman is a governmental official under the king and does not like that Israelites don't bow to him. They bow to God alone. And so Haman puts out a decree that everyone that doesn't bow would be executed, meaning every single Israelite is executed. So Esther has a cousin named Mordecai. Look at your neighbor and say, Mordecai. Mordecai is trying to reason with Esther and letting her know the situation. He catches wind of what's happening. He's trying to tell her what's going on. But the problem is, Esther can't just simply go to the king and tell him what's going on, that even she herself is in danger because of this decree. Because the law says if you approach the king without being invited, you get killed. And so Esther is in this crazy place where her generation needs her, but there's a cost that comes with what she's like being told she has to do. And she, you can tell that she's not asking the question like, what's the Lord doing in all of this? She's not wondering like, okay, God, what are you doing? She's just looking at the circumstances, just looking at the possibilities. And so there's a moment where Mordecai inserts some wisdom to Esther, and it's not what you'd expect. You'd expect Mordecai to try to convince her that she just has to do it. And he does a little bit of that. But he throws in this invaluable piece of wisdom that I think resonates for us today. Okay? We're going to go look at verse 13. So he starts off by telling Esther, this is Mordecai saying, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. Pause right there. This is a dude that knows his history. This is a dude that knows the history of God's dealings with Israel. He knows that sooner or later, God raises up a deliverer for his people. And he literally tells her, listen, if you're not going to, it's gonna be somebody else. How many of you know that our generation today is in desperate need of revival and awakening? And we're not in any more desperate need than any other generation. Since Jesus left, we have been in desperate need of revival and awakening. We haven't yet seen a single nation discipled yet. We're still waiting. The need is urgent. The hour is urgent, right? There's a soberness to that, like, yet the wisdom from heaven says, well, God's gonna raise up somebody. It's inevitable. But here's the question. This is how you know God is in this, because it's a question. He says in verse 14, yet who knows, maybe you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So here's what I'm here to tell you. The kingdom is coming to Central Maine. The kingdom's coming to America. Revival, awakening, nations being discipled, mass salvations. We're gonna build a parking garage here probably because it's just gonna be excessive, the amount of people that wanna be close to the Lord and in community. It sounds cute, but that's what we're here to see. That's what I'm giving my life for. Years of my life to see God receive a gift of the adoration of people in this region. That it's rare to not love Jesus in the area that God is, the patches of land that God has given me to steward. If we're not careful, we're gonna actually read ourselves out of this story. Because the reality is, it's gonna come from somewhere. But maybe, just maybe, you are here for such a time as this. Maybe, hear me. Maybe it's not an accident or happenstance that this is the place in the timeline that God placed you. Maybe he knew what he was doing when he said, 2020, these guys. Corona, unrest, political unrest. Oh yeah, this is who I want. I tell you, I really don't like when people say, oh, I wish I lived in a different era. I'd imagine that breaks his heart. But this is the one I chose for you. Ooh. You realize culture and society is not meant to serve you. It's not meant to become something that you enjoy. Culture and society is meant to be served by you. You're the doormat that they walk on to get in God's house. Nothing more. Oh, to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Just to be the guy that lets people in. Wow. What an honor. But if we're not careful, we're going to read a story like Esther's story, and we're going to read ourselves out of it because we don't think we're significant like she was significant. We're going to say, oh, well, I'm not in the president's chamber. I'm not a government official. I'm just this. Friends, we need a generation of Esthers, of people who take responsibility for their generation, who take responsibility for the need of a generation, who are willing to say yes to a great assignment when they see a great need, regardless of the cost, not because no one else will do it. Because someone else will do it. Someone else will raise the banner of revival and signs and wonders in Oakland, Maine. Someone else will pop up tents and start seeing mass salvations in Central Maine. I'm just praying that I get to be the one that sees it. I'm praying for myself that I get to be a part of building what God is doing in the earth. Because I know that even for my own sanity, my own heart, my own contentment in life, I can have all the intimate, glory-soaked time with God that I can handle. And that's who we are, right? Like, we just love the presence of God. I don't think I've talked to a Christian in years that doesn't have this sense of, oh, I just need to spend more time in prayer and in worship, and I just want to spend more time with him, you know, because it's so good, right? But none of that will ever complete the equation of what it looks like to live the full life that God has given us. It's not enough just to be with him. We have to work for him. You know how I know that? The Garden of Eden. Eden means delight. One word is luxury. Ooh. Paradise. Everything we could have ever wanted found in this garden. And a lot of us think, oh, it was paradise because Adam walked with God in the cool of the day and there was no veil, there's intimacy, saw his form and talked together. And that was a huge part of what made it paradise, for sure. And in the same way, that is a big part of what makes our lives like the Garden of Eden, that paradise. But when you look at Genesis 2, 15, it says, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And then it became paradise. It wasn't enough to simply walk with him in intimacy. You see, paradise came when not only did we get to be with God and love him and worship him and let him love us, but we got the opportunity to be at the very center of what he was doing in the earth. At that time, the thing God was doing was the garden. And it was naming, and it was tending, it was this beautiful work. And so now, in the same way today, we can live our lives just feeling like, oh man, I'm discontented. I just need more worship time. I need more Bible time. And I need more intimacy with God. And that's probably true. But the other factor we need to be looking at in our personal contentment, our personal like Eden in our lives, is am I living life central to what God is doing in the earth? Is the lens that I view my activity, am I being sure to keep myself accountable that I'm staying in the center of what he's doing and I'm discipling whatever nation I'm in? I'm discipling whatever job, whatever family, wherever I'm at. Like I said earlier, I've got my hand on the big picture of why I'm here, and I'm doing it. Now, this is not meant to be something that covers you in shame. If you feel like, no, I'm not. It's okay. He redeems time, man. He redeems years, months, weeks we feel like we've wasted. That's not helping anybody, right? To hear, you know, these high exhortations of fruitfulness and impact and discipling nations and realizing, oh, my life is lived in a lower place, and we shame spiral. God does not endorse this message. But his desire is to call you higher. And you know what we need to do, friends? We need to get accountability partners. We need to get accountability partners, not just over issues of sin and issues of compromise. We need to get accountability partners over our personal fruitfulness. Yeah. Hey, bro, what have you accomplished for the kingdom this week? I don't care. It doesn't. Fruitfulness in the kingdom doesn't translate as church work and ministry. For a lot of us, it does because there's just so much to do and it's awesome. But it's business, it's government, it's education, it's your families. We need moms that like will get together and be like, okay, how have you stayed connected to awakening in America in this last season of your life, in what you're doing? It's no small thing to be a stay-at-home parent. God, this nation needs family. God, this nation needs moms and dads who teach kids how to lay it all out for revival. Like Jim and Kim taught Jamie and Rachel, you know? And look at what happened as a result of that. All of us are here because of them. Teaching a generation behind them to lay it all out, listening to the voice of God and giving themselves to the larger things that he's doing in the earth. Thanks. I'm trying to call you higher. I told you that you would be confronted with your own assignment. Again, it would be cruel for God to ask you to do something you cannot do. Isn't it amazing how quickly shame and these statements that just cut us down? From the moment I said that the first time to the moment I just said it now, half of you already came all the way back down to wherever you were before we started listening. We've already talked ourselves out of it. Listen, this is the cheesy saying, but we need it. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You are qualified, bona fide army of the Lord. You are the real deal. You're not a fake version of a Christian. You're a fire-breathing revivalist meant to turn your world upside down. The kingdom flows through your hands like water. All authority that Jesus had on the earth, he has given it to you. Not only will you match the fruitfulness of Jesus, you will go beyond and you will see things that Jesus just didn't have enough time on the earth to see. Why? Because you're willing. Because you have vision. Because you have faith and hope. And you have vision for what he's doing in the earth. And you're willing to take a step because you're willing to fail. You're willing to try. You're willing to let people into your life. Like all of the things that we talk about all the time. Whatever it takes. Somebody else will do it. But maybe you've been raised up for such a time as this. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? You know, last week when Jamie was praying, or preaching, whatever he does, I was just so struck with what he was talking about, and I actually saw a picture of the Lord. I saw everybody with their hand in the air, and I saw the Lord putting a ring on everybody's finger. And, you know, it wasn't like an engagement ring, like, will you marry me? You know, I mean, he's into that. He loves you covenantally and would like you to love him back covenantally. So maybe for some of you it is. But I knew right away that it was a signet ring. The same type of ring that in the story of the prodigal son, when that foolish kid goes out, he's a prodigal, he does this thing, and he comes back, and the father embraces him, gives him sandals, gives him a cloak, and he puts a ring on his finger. That ring was a signet ring, and that's the same ring that the Pharaoh gave to Joseph when he put him in authority. He gave him the ring, and that ring, it represents somebody of greater authority, God himself saying, I give you the authority and the assignment together. It's a sign of affection and it's a sign of authority to walk out the assignment that you've been given. And so when the prodigal son comes back and his father gives him his signet ring, puts it on his finger, that's his way of saying your position of importance and assignment in your family has been fully restored to you. And I feel like what the Lord's wanting to do, he's actually wanting to give you all signet rings. And he's wanting to remind you, to give you revelation an understanding of the authority. It's almost like he wants to remind you that you have the authority to walk out the assignment he's given you. So let's just let him do that, yeah? So whatever it looks like for you to dream again, why don't you start that right now? Holy Spirit, that's the other thing he was doing this morning. I feel him doing it again. Right now, I ask that you would open the eyes of everybody here to the dreams that you have been dreaming over them. Some of you, I just feel like you need to put your hand in the air and ask the Lord to put a signet ring on your finger. I don't always understand these prophetic actions. They're in the Word. They're weird, but God moves in it. Lord, we say yes to the signet ring. We say yes to the assignment you've given us in the earth, God. I say yes, God, to my lane, to the thing that you've called me to run in, God. I say yes to that, and I say yes to the Great Commission, to the greatest commission of all the ends of the earth. Discipled, baptized, worshiping you, Lord. Whew. Yep. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just a little bit longer. Some of you just need to ask him, Lord, what's your dream for me, for my life? I command shame to leave this room right now. Shame has to go right now. Every spirit that would cause shame, you have to go. Every voice of shame, you have to go right now in Jesus' name. Right now, you have to go. Wisdom, truth, and revelation come right now, Holy Spirit. Yeah, dream again. Go ahead, just dream again. What's God gonna do through your life? And for some of you, the Lord's asking you to dream for your kids again. And some of them might be prodigals, some of them might be wayward, but I'm telling you, some of you right now need to take signet rings for your kids. So Lord, I thank you that the dream of God is alive for us and it's alive for our families. Ah, yes, yes. Hope, hope, joy, dream again. We're just gonna take 30, 60 more seconds. God's here. I declare of you, you are not fruitless. I declare of you that you bear the fruit of a disciple of Christ, inwardly and outwardly. Whatever thing in you that struggles to believe that God could produce greatness from you, Holy Spirit, would you encounter it right now? This is not your obligation. This is your opportunity. Some of you, you felt like the Lord spoke to you, but it was too big, so you waited to hear something else. The Lord's saying, no, 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 no. Go with the first thing you heard. Business ideas, strategies to see the kingdom invade. Who's going to be with me? God will bring the people. Dream too big. I bless this church. I bless this family. I bless you on the live stream that you would leave this place full of the glory of God. That you would leave this place, get into your weeks, and your attention would be centered around Jesus all week. I declare of you that just like Isaiah, you will see the Lord and you will hear him say, whom shall I send? Say yes to the season of encounter, of dreams in the night, and visions in the day, supernatural setups from God as you say yes. Some of you feel like you've been running away from him, and God's surprising you. Say, no, you've just been running right to me, a different direction. You're so good, God. Bless this family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.